Nice to see you.
It's been a long time. You're just as lovely as you used to be. How's your new love? Are you happy? Hope you're doing fine. Just to know it means so much to me. What's that, darling? How am I doing? Guess I'm doing all right, except I can't sleep and I cry. Just for old time's sake, let me hold you in my arms one more time. Thank you, darling. May God bless you, and may each step you take bring you closer to the face. Goodbye, darling. Gotta go now. Gotta try to find a way to lose his memory of a love so warm and true. And if you should ever find it in your heart to forgive me, come back, darling. I'll be waiting.
Conway Twitty from back in, I remember Conway back in the 50s. Yeah, when he came out with these songs. I'm trying to remember the first song he came out with. But it went to the top of the charts on country and regular. What do you call it? Forget what you call it. But anyhow, and then he was doing real good, and then all of a sudden he started dropping out of the pop charts, and very smart for him, he went back to country and made all his money after that, mostly on country. So he was a smart boy, and almost all his songs were songs that. Everybody liked him, but the ladies liked him a lot more. He's a little bit like Frank Sinatra and Bumperdinker or whatever his name was, and some of those guys, you know. And when he died, I'm telling you, the women went nuts. Well, it's Saturn's Day here in the bunker. Yeah, the February the 15th, 2014, the day after Valentine's Day, and I wonder if you took your lady out and or bought her some candy or posies. The only thing I don't like about that is it's so damn commercial. I try to do something that's different every year, or wait for a few days after, or do it before, just to let the Jews know I'm not going by their script. How about that? Too many men out there think they can act any way they want all year and then drop a box of candy on the gal or some roses and all is forgiven. The way you do it is be nice and decent all year long. And that's going to get you farther than any crummy box of Jew candy. Well, I see the Race Mixers Incorporated are all upset because the timid whites have learned a new way to segregate schools. Part of Baton Rouge, Louisiana, wants to segregate the city's schools, and residents are working on a completely legal method to do so. Well, I'm happy to see that, because I was in Baton Rouge back when David Duke ran for state senate the first time, way back in 76, I think it was. And so I got to see a lot of Baton Rouge, and I'm telling you, I've never seen any more beautiful women in my life in one spot. I mean, I could stand in front of a supermarket handing out literature for the campaign and be drooling all over myself. So that, just to think of those beautiful women having to go to schools with these apes, is just a lot more than I can stand to think about. But anyhow, people who live in middle class and wealthy neighborhoods in East Baton Rouge Parish are looking to create their own city and public school district to separate themselves from the poorer neighborhoods in the parish. That part of it bothers me, because there's a hell of a lot of poor whites are going to be stuck out there and even be more overwhelmed by the blacks. Split supporters say the existing district performs so poorly that the state monitors have been brought in, while opponents say it's only going to cause bigger problems. What they're saying is the schools are so negrified and people aren't learning anything. Quote, it's going to devastate us, 45-year-old Tanya Nyman, who has two elementary-age children in the Baton Rouge system, told the Bloomberg.com. Quote, they're not only going to take the richer white kids out of the district, they're going to take their money out of it too. And that's the main thing. Always got to be sucking on Whitey's tit. The public school district currently spends an average of $9,635 on each of its approximately 42,000 students, according to three economic professors at the Louisiana State University, which is located in Baton Rouge. Funding for the remaining students would drop to $8,870 per student, a number only buoyed by an increase in state and because of the lower average income level of the redrawn district. In other words, whites that work their asses off have been punished by having to go into inferior schools. The new district's per pupil spending, meanwhile, would jump to $11,686. Of course, there's not too much being taught in the schools that's really that effective anyhow, but we'll overlook that for now. Quote, every affluent community in the state will want to create their own little school system, unquote, said Carnell Washington, president of the East Baton Rouge Federation of Teachers, and I'll bet he's black as the ace of spades. Quote, they're taking money away that would help the entire school system and the entire city. The current district, which is 80% Negroid, and where 82% of the student body qualifies for free or reduced price school lunches, like blacks can't make a few sandwiches, can't eat bologna sandwiches, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches like I did when I was a kid. Oh, no, can't do that. They've got to have steaming hot plates of beautiful food. The dropout rate for the 2011-2012 school year was 20%. Well, that's good. I don't know. I hope that most of the blacks drop out. And, to be perfectly honest, a lot of the poor white kids, they're better off to drop out, get their education on the job training or at the library. You can get a master's degree in common sense and so forth just sitting in a library reading books. 60% of the district students attended a school that was ranked as failing or almost failing. Baton Rouge is one of the best job markets around, and the middle class is moving out. Well, how about these corporations then if they're there and there's a big job market, how come they're not helping fund the schools? Because aren't they getting their workers from the schools, or are they bringing them all in from India and China and so forth? Anyhow, that was Republican State Senator Mac Bodie White. Those who stay have their kids in private schools. And the hell with the poor white working class kids. The new city, to be called St. George, is looking to join other southern communities that have legally segregated their schools. In 2012, residents of Brookhaven, Georgia, decided to incorporate what had been a mostly white neighborhood in the 55% black DeKalb County in their own town. The move allowed 49,000 residents to explore school districts with other mostly white communities, pulling tax dollars from the countywide school district. Last year, Gardendale, Alabama, residents approved an increase in property taxes in order to start their own public school district, setting up one of the now 13 separate districts within Jefferson County. Gardendale's population is 88% white. More than 42% of Jefferson County residents are black. When Memphis, Tennessee's mostly black schools merged with the county district, which is mostly white, last year Republicans in the State House repealed a decades-old ban on new school districts. Six mostly white suburbs quickly launched their own districts, paid for by an increase in sales tax. Near Dallas, an affluent area is considering incorporating its own municipality to be known as White Rock, which would include its own school district. Well, my prediction is that this is going to grow pretty good for a while, and then the Attorney General of the United States is going to step in and say that it's totally illegal and it's totally anti-nigger. Whitey keeps trying to figure clever little ways of getting out from under. He doesn't want to be associated with white racists, serfs like you and me that openly admit we're racial and we're racial separatists and we really want to and demand to be separated from anybody that we don't like or we don't respect. So that's the way that goes. So we'll see. You watch. I'd say give it no more than another year until the federal government comes down on this situation, because we can't have these poor Negroes shipped off to, or we can't have the whites shipped off to other areas of schools. Of course, in the beginning, they were all bussed over here to these schools in the first place, so that's not even a good argument. But it don't have to be a good argument when you've got people like we have in the White House. And don't say it's not going to happen under white people, because remember, it was white people that pushed the Civil Rights Bill, 1964, in the first place. Kennedy wrote it, Johnson improved on it, and they enforced it. So it wasn't black people that did that. And the black people didn't do it by a right of combat, the right of conquering. See, they have not had to really fight for anything in this country. Oh, sure, they fought on the streets a little bit. And they marched a little bit, but they didn't really have to go to the force of arms to get anything. It was all handed to them by your friendly white neighbors, your Christian buddies. How about that? Well, let's see who's doing all this diversity training and who is not, the corporations here. Now, if you happen to have any business with these particular corporations, well, I'd suggest you, I know it won't mean you're going to solve the whole problem, but at least you'll feel better. Well, let's see here. We got the Marriott Hotels, Pepsi-Cola, Walt Disney, Hartford Insurance, Wells Fargo, Budweiser Beer, Eli Lilly, That's the outfit that controls politics in Indiana, where I live. Oh, let's see here. Southern Company, USAA, Verizon, Allstate Insurance, Bristol-Myers, Caterpillar, Harley-Davidson, General Motors, Medtronic, and they're right here where I live too, Time Warner Cable, Hartford Insurance, Wyndham Hotels, oh, let's see, Boston Scientific, Boehringer Corporation, KPMG, Kraft Foods, Northwestern Mutual, Southern Companies, let's see, ADP Corporation, Alcoa Corporation, Blue Cross Blue Shield, how about that, DuPont, yeah, and Kraft Foods, and there's a few here that I probably missed, but these people are actively, oh, Walmart, of course, I forgot those people, Cleveland Clinic, Comcast and Cox TV, Humana Insurance, Morgan Stanley, Monsanto, Progressive Insurance, Prudential Insurance, Travelers Insurance, Toyota Car Company, and on it goes. Now, these people are actively giving thousands of dollars and forcing their employees to sit through race mixing programs. Diversity, they call it diversity, which is not diverse at all. And the one right here in the town I live in, which I've been working on them, Medtronics has given several thousand for this. And they give several thousand to the SPLC, too. And I'll be working on that. And so this gives you an idea of how there's actually these organizations that specifically are working essentially to kill you, your race. I mean, they can say, oh, no, that you're just a fanatic. But it's true. Now, the list of things they want you to do is hundreds of how-to articles on mentoring, resource groups, diversity consoles, supplier diversity, and more. A library of the best practices, web seminars for race mixing, case studies, startups to advanced, including staffing and budgets, turnkey meeting in a box distributed for your workforce diversity meetings that you hold in all these corporate buildings on workday. How about that? Corporations, they have corporations with 5,000 employees or more, and tells you who to contact. Veronica McCoy at VM, that's Victor Mary C, capital C-O-Y, at diversityincorporated.com. Then corporations with less than 5,000 employees, hospitals and nonprofits, college and universities, federal, state, and local government, and the military. So there you go. If you want to know any more, just go to customer service at diversityincorporated.com. So you think you have enemies outside this country? You think that you have people out there in other countries that want to get you? Well, there may be a few, but I'm telling you, the people that are after you are right here in your own community. You could probably walk or ride a bicycle to an outfit or a corporation that's involved in all this diversity training, which is nothing but race mix training and miscegenation. And these people are the first groups that if anybody happened to say thug or Negro or nigger or whatever the hell they call us now, it's African American for now, I guess, then these people would be on you like stink on a skunk. So why are we looking for enemies all over the world when we have met the enemy and it is us? Yeah, that white neighbor of yours that works for the corporation. Yeah, the one that's putting this together, and you don't even know what they do. Yeah, the church members and so forth who are putting all this kind of crap together. And they just smile at you like they love you because you're a child of Jesus. Yeah, right. These are your worst enemies, and if you're going to hate them with a perfect hatred. Okay? You got the point? Okay. Let me see here. I want to do something here, and I forget how to do it. Okay. There we go. Now, you must understand that all these organizations that are going full blast on race mixing under the diversity banner are killing your race are tax exempt. But, you know, when National Alliance tried to get tax exemption and Ben Klassen tried to get tax exemption, several others have tried it. And they never got anything like that. Never could get it. So you see, the tax exemption goes to the enemies and murderers of your race. Got it? And they're right here. They're right around your corner. They're right down the street. You don't have to go far. But always remember, follow the money. On any issue, follow the money. And after that, study cause and effect. Right-wing reactionary types, they're always shadowboxing with the effect. They're not going to the cause, the root of the problem. They never have. They always react. They're always trying to chop off the tentacles of the octopus. Very rarely do they go to the head, the eye of the octopus. Now, James Earl Ray was a good guy as far as I'm concerned. His heart was in the right place, and I don't care who knows it. But he was playing around at the tentacles at the bottom. And that was not going to change much except making things worse. Actually, it was turned around and used to make things worse instead of better. But you see, Even the target that he chose was much too low. Much too low, boys and girls. But always remember, think about the cause. If you're ever going to do anything nasty, go for the cause, not the effect. I mean, the Negro street gang member, he's a problem mostly to his own people. And now and then he does some really bad stuff to white people, and he should be taken care of in a very graphic way. But that's not the cause. That's the effect. That's what the ruling class are using to keep white people at bay. Keep them in fear all the time and calling 911 every time they hear a noise. And if anyone steps out and does like Mr. Dutton did down there in South Carolina. He's on trial. I think they're coming in the jury today. And picks up a gun and does what needs to be done. Or like Mr. Loeb Jr., one of our friends in the prison down in Florida. Whenever a white man does that, well, they're going to come down on him with everything they got because they have no intention on solving the effect. If the effect got too bad, they'd probably send in the troops and clean them out. And that may come someday. But they're going to first want to clean out any of us that might want to clean out the effect. So hang loose, hold back on the effect. Let's think about the cause. And you don't have to go out of the country. You don't have to go out of the state. And in most cases, you don't have to go out of the county to find causes. Of course, one of the really effective ways they have come up with this, in the civil rights and all this kind of stuff, is to turn the white woman against the white man. That's been a very effective method, and they're bragging about it all the time. Here's a little news from BASF, one of the most powerful companies in the world. They started out making audio and videotape and things like that, but they're off into everything. Well, Heidi Alderman breaking gender barriers in engineering. Well, who set up those barriers in the first place? The same people now that are giving money to the diversity programs. The average white working man did not have anything to do with holding Heidi Alderman back. It was the ruling class, so they flip-flop every once in a while. Heidi Alderman's career path has been anything but traditional, a chemical engineer. She's been a leader in operations and procurement in the very male-dominated chemical industry, and when they say male, they mean white male. So they work at this day in and day out to turn white males and white females against each other, and every ad you see on TV, every ad that makes a white husband look like a stupid idiot, and you see the black guys more and more with white women on these ads, and some of them are a little timid. They're using mulattoes that have a lot of white blood in them for now, because they realize that most white men and even white women that are, say, my age or even younger, do not feel comfortable looking at a baboon on TV with a white woman, or a black baboon woman with a white guy. It just don't fly very well. But they're gradually, slowly getting into the brains of the kids. And as they grow up, they'll know nothing different. Nothing different. Now, one of the biggest causes in this country is the United States State Department, which has dictatorship authority and power to take tens of thousands of people from equatorial Africa and set them right down in your Midwest community, which they're doing right now. Thousands of Somalians have been put down in the United States in white, especially white areas. They do that. And that whole trial in Portland that I was in had to do with that. These Ethiopians that the State Department set down in Portland, Oregon, caused all the problems. And then, of course, the skinheads tried to handle it, the effect and not the cause. But anyhow, that's so that the State Department is even probably worse than Obama himself or George Bush Jr. himself, because it literally does everything that's anti-white, and especially white working class. Just check them out. Go up on the web. Find the U.S. State Department. See what they're doing and how many thousands of these. You know, the State Department, of course, is right behind corporate-run America, right behind the military-industrial complex. So, they're not only back going in and robbing people in the third world and occupying the third world and creating revolutions in the third world, but when those people gets desperate and there's thousands and thousands of them fleeing their country, the State Department says, oh, we have to be good people. We have to love the baby Jesus or the baby Abraham or something. And we have to save them. Now, of course, they don't tell you. We're the ones who put them in this shit in the first place. But we got to get them out of there. And of course, we want the cooperation of the Christian insanity churches. And we'll bring them to the United States and take care of them. In Ohio, they've got thousands and thousands of them that the State Department has set down. And nobody said hardly anything about it. I don't think there's many letters to the paper or anything identifying the enemy. A lot of people identify the effect Whoa, I'm seeing Somalians all over the place. But they don't say, that goddamn State Department, and this guy's in charge at the top, and he is our mortal enemy trying to kill us. Anyhow, until you start thinking cause and not so much effect, we'll never get any place, and you'll never get anywhere with the right wing, even the white wing racist, because most of those people don't understand either. The ones that do understand are quitting the right wing in droves and becoming lone wolves and private contractors and operate on their own, and they don't join any organizations, and they sink in and they're out there waiting. But like Zapata said in the movie, I'm going home. What are you going to do? The emperor said, I'm going to wait, but not too long. Remember Frank Silva, one of the order members, he's been out for quite a while now, but we have the recording where he said, if I had 5,000 men, 5,000 men determined and fanatically tied to the freeing of this country and the white race, there wouldn't be too much the government could do about it. Not too much they could do about it, because they would be hitting from all areas. You know? Frank was right then, and he's Frank now. But as long as so many good people are just following still a right-wing losing process, nothing's going to change. Now, there's some interesting things happening down in the heavily right-to-work states in the South. And it's quite interesting, and it's very positive in a lot of ways. The unions are starting to make a comeback in the South. And one of the reasons they're making a comeback is because the companies themselves, like Volkswagen and people like that, and some of the Japanese companies, are working with the unions to make a mutually acceptable agreement. And the powers that be do not like that. Of course, that's the way it always should be. Management and labor should work together for the best possible outcome. So the Jew-type thinkers are just wringing their hands because of the recent activity of the UAW in cooperation with, I believe it was Volkswagen people down there and other companies in the South, which is going to sort of coming at the right-to-work nonsense from another direction. So we got to keep an eye on this, because this could be very good. The super corporations, the bad guys, are going to try to harpoon this kind of activity. They're going to spend a lot of money trying to harpoon it. And, of course, who's going to be their front men, their big front men? The Republican Party. Republican Party is anti-labor and really always has been. And don't say I'm supporting the Democrat Party, because I'm not. But the Republican Party is first and foremost at supporting the ruling class and the big predatory corporations at all cost. Now, someone sent me the quote of the century, which I think it's pretty damn close to it if it's not the quote of the century. And this was from Vaclav Klaus. And I'm not sure, I think it said where he was from. Quote from the century. Oh, he was former premier of the Czech Republic. He says, some possesses the vocabulary to sum things up in a way we can understand. This is a quote from the former premier of the Czech Republic. Obviously, we have a lot of work to do to repair the damage they've done. Quote, the danger to America is not Barack Obama, but a citizenry capable of trusting a man like him with the presidency. It will be far easier to limit and undo the follies of an Obama presidency than to restore the necessary common sense and good judgment to a depraved, idiotic electorate willing to have such a man for their president. The problem is much deeper and far more serious than Mr. Obama, who is a mere symptom of what ails America. Well, of course, he's been a puppet from the very beginning of the big corporations, and the niggers are standing around scratching their head. And when's Obama going to do something for us? Blaming the Prince of Fools should not blind anyone to the vast confederacy of fools that made him their prince. The Republic can survive a Barack Obama, who is, after all, merely a fool, a paid fool. It is less likely to survive a multitude of fools such as those who made him their president. Unquote. Vaclav Klaus said that. Too bad we have to go all the way to the Czech Republic to get something that makes sense. People all griping about Obama, but he had a landslide victory, so most of the people in most of our communities must have voted for him. So, however, on the other side of the fence, we had these people like John McCain, people like that, and then we had George Bush Jr. of the Bush crime family, the homicidal maniac war criminal that should be exported and indicted by the world court and hung by his neck until dead, and Cheney right alongside him, and Clinton and all of those guys. They're all homicidal war criminals. Clinton deserves to be tried as a war criminal for his actions in the Eastern Europe, in battling and bombing and killing the Serbians. The Serbians have been the front line of trying to keep Islam out of Europe, and we fought that battle many times in the past. And so that's Clinton's, and there's other things he did. And he should be hung right along with his wife. Because if she runs for president, I know the Republicans are going to get everybody excited that she's such a bitch and whore, which she is. But they'll put up somebody like a war-loving warmonger McCain again, an idiot. Not only a warmonger, but an idiot who should have been in federal prison for his involvement in the big financial scams that took place out in California, starting with the Jerry Dominelli fiasco in San Diego, which he may not have been directly involved in, but some of his friends were, and then the other big one, I can't think of it right now. I know that Wyatt Kallenberg, my old friend who worked with us for years, was a security guard in that company down there, in that bank that criminal ran. And he used to joke to me that he used to go into his office working all night. He'd sleep on the guy's desk, which is a proper insult for this bastard. Now, 5 minutes after I go on to something else, I'll remember the names of this financial mess. And the guy who was behind it, he did serve a few months on a golf club type prison grounds, which is nothing. You know, they have these very light duty prisons for the rich guys, and some of them don't even have fences around them. But until we get it across to enough people that you don't have a government anymore, you have a financial, corporate, predatory, capitalist dictatorship. That's all it is now. They must laugh their asses off when they have elections and people actually seriously go to the polls thinking they're going to change something, whether it's a Ron Paul or whether it's a Demick Kerry or one of these guys. They're all rats. They're all rats. And they represent a rat criminal government. And so until enough people in the country that know what the answers are get this through their thick skulls, nothing will ever change. Now, I could spend all my time on here, like some of these shows do, talking about the Jews, the Jews, the Jews, the Jews. Like I said before, like tradition shows that the vampire can come to the door, but you got to let him in. You have to invite him across your threshold, and that's exactly what we've done to the Jews. And if you don't like what the Jews are doing, why did you invite him in? Why did you let him in? Why did you let him in after World War II and after the wars of 1845 and all that? You let him in to the United States. Your Christian leaders let him in. So these shows that sit around, let me give you this latest news thing from the Middle East. And this is Joe Shishkebab is fighting Wally Bob, and all this. And he's going to be replaced by what's his name and all that. And I know all this stuff. Well, I got an inside track on what they're doing. But they're not talking about what's going on here. What is going on in your neighborhood? What's going on in your county? What's going on in your state? No, it's very easy to talk about bullshit from across the ocean, which you can't do a goddamn thing about. But things that you could do right here, right around the corner, at least something, a little bit, even writing letters to the paper, which is not much. But you do tend to attract a certain circle of quiet friends. And that's what you need, is quiet friends. More and more of them. I get it. I walk down the street and go in places, and people will say, "How you doing, Tom?" I said, "Doing fine." "Like your letters." I said, "Yeah." And they know I can go as far as I try to go as far as I can so the paper will still print my letters. But obviously I can't say everything I can say to you. That's why it's so important to keep these kind of shows going, to keep your eye on the prize, as the niggas say. I got to keep my eye on the prize. And the prize is here in North America. It's not around the world or worrying about the fucking North Koreans. Because the only way the North Koreans are going to do anything nasty is if we goad them into it. The military-industrial complex needs money. They need to build more arms. They need to build more guns. They need to have some place where they can explode all their surplus uranium weapons. So they go into an area and at the direction of the corporations and stir the shit out of it. And then North Korea, then after they'd be subdued, then they'd turn them into a slave state just like they are now, only to the capitalists instead of the communists. That's the game. That's the game they play. See it right now. They're trying to fire up this anti-Russian thing again, because Russia's doing some good things. And even Putin's doing some good things. I wouldn't trust him as far as I could throw him, but he is doing some good things, and there is a rise of white Russian nationalism over there, and that can't hurt anything. And, of course, you see there, do you notice in the movies now, I've seen several anti-Russian movies all of a sudden hit the streets. And do you see any anti-Chinese films hit the streets? I don't know of any anti-Chinese movie that's been made since the Korean War. Why? Because we owe them a shitload of money that these crooked Jew-minded politicians have borrowed from these little yellow bastards. But when it comes down to the wire, they'll probably start making anti-Chinese movies. So when you start seeing anti-Chinese war-type movies, you'll know that the military-industrial complex is getting you ready, getting the population ready. I hear them talking on the radio, "Oh, we got to worry about the Chinese. The Chinese, I think they're going to attack us any minute." And so they're getting us ready. You know, it's sort of like tsunamis, and where they'll have one big tidal wave, and then they'll have one behind that all ready to come in, and one behind that is coming in later on. They have these wars in the future all set up. It's all, hey, they sit around a goddamn Pentagon and figure this stuff out. All you know is what you read in the goddamn papers. The corporate papers, which are owned by a very few number of corporations now. There's hardly any family-owned, privately-owned newspapers at all. They're all owned by conglomerate big corporations. And the media is the same way. What's a scumball? Rush Scumball? Well, that outfit that that he's involved with there, they control about 70-80% or more of what goes on these radio stations around the country. And all you get around here is Glenn Pecker and that kind of, he's about as radical as you can get, and he's the biggest phony Jew lover I've ever seen. Something for everybody. If you want it a little more radical, they'll give you an Alex Jones. Oh, the sky is falling. God damn it. The sky is falling, man. We got to do something. But he never tells you really what to do, does he? He tells you the whole thing's coming apart, the whole thing's collapsing, but he never gives you any hints on what to do, because if he did, he'd be off the air in 5 seconds. Well, maybe I've talked too soon on this labor situation, because one of our good associates sent me this. In a stinging defeat that could accelerate the decades-long decline of the United Auto Workers, Volkswagen AG workers voted against union representation at Chattanooga, Tennessee plant. Stupid bastards. Which had been seen as organized labor's best chance to expand in the U.S. South. The loss, 712 to 626. And if I was one of the 712, I wouldn't be having any beers down at the bar with the 626. They would be ostracized completely. Well, anyhow, capped a sprint finish to a long race, and was particularly surprising for UAW supporters because Volkswagen had allowed the union access to the factory and officially stayed neutral on the vote, while other manufacturers have been hostile to organized labor. UAW spent more than 2 years organizing and then called a snap election in an agreement with Volkswagen. German union IG Metall worked with the UAW to pressure Volkswagen to open its doors to organizers. Okay. But, let's see here. Let me get this down here where I can read it. Let's see here. Where was I at? Okay. Republican Senator Bob Corker, the former mayor of Chattanooga, who helped the VW plant, said on Wednesday after the first day of voting that Volkswagen would expand the factory if the union was rejected. Needless to say, I am thrilled, Corker said in a statement after the results were disclosed. And our associate says, never forget that at its very core, the Republican Party is anti-worker. You can see it right there. Now, why would any stupid bastard working man vote for guys like Corker? They should be running him out of town. This U.S. senator should be very cautioned by his friends. Maybe you better stay in Washington, in one of those high-rise whorehouses. And why, you better not come home, because there's a hell of a lot of people around here that like to have your head on the wall. That's the way it's got to go. That's the way it's got to start, at least. But we'll see. We'll see. That gives you an idea that over half of the workers that had a lot to gain by going union went against it. And that shows you why they're right. They want to go, we got to wake up the masses. We got to wake up the people. Yeah, you're not going to wake these people up. They got to get the ass, boots up their ass. I mean, really. I mean, all the way to their Adam's apple if you're going to change these people. I notice it too, trying to do any kind of propagandizing here in the Midwest. These people look at you like deer caught in a headlight. What you talking about? Well, or they shake their head yes, but they do wrong. Oh, yeah, well, the unions are all corrupt. Well, the corporations are a hell of a lot more corrupt, you dummies. We deserve whatever we permit. We deserve whatever we permit. You know, I was pretty happy when I heard on the radio it sounded a lot differently, but I guess that was before they made the vote. On the radio report I heard, it sounded pretty good, you know, that the union was going to get in there and that would start a trend throughout the South. But now it's going to go from bad to worse. Bad to worse. A lot of you people out there, a lot of Americans think that this Canada is such a wonderful place. Maybe because it's got so many white people, but that's changing too quite quickly if you've been to Toronto lately. But it's changed. And first thing it did was to knock out free speech. You don't have free speech in Canada. In fact, one of the things they keep throwing up at Craig Cobb is that he was wanted for a hate crime in Canada, which was nothing more than free speech. It had nothing to do with violence or anything else. But the American press are playing it up just like it was a criminal act that Craig Cobb came down to the United States for. But in Canada, they can hold you in jail for years for the wrong kind of speech. So any country that does that is my enemy. So I got most countries in the world, I guess, are my enemy. But anyhow, now here we got the Jews. They're all happy with Canada, and they should be because, you know, Simon Wiesenthal Center was all bankrolled out of money coming out of Canada and the B'nai B'rith. I had all the records and everything on it back when I had some deep throats. All that money that set them up in L.A., most of it came out of Canada. Well, Dateline Toronto, and they show a picture here of Canadian Prime Minister Stephen Harper, who is also the enemy of the environment. He's doing horrible things to the environmental problems in Canada. In fact, he's destroying all the rules and regulations that Canada had to protect the environment, leaving Canada wide open for total and absolute corporate exploitation. Shows him here, Canadian Prime Minister Stephen Harper touches the Western Wall in Jerusalem on January 21st. Has got him here, and he might as well. They should reform that wall into a big buttock, an ass, so that when all these politicians come over there, they can be more honest and kiss the ass of this bandit state of Israel. Which, here again, blame ourselves. Who set them up? Who gave it to them? Who come up with the Balfour Declaration? Yeah, who funds them? Who sends billions of dollars to them? We do. So who do we blame? Well, whoever's behind sending them all that money and all that stuff are your bitter, total enemies. Or, for that matter, foreign aid to almost any country. Foreign aid should be knocked out. I mean, we are giving foreign aid to China. Do you know that? We are giving foreign aid to China. And then they're loaning back our own money. Oh, shit, it's so deep, you got to have wings to stay above it, as they said in the movie. For decades, the U.S. has seen as Israel's best friend, oh yeah, and strongest ally in the Western world. Even when they shot the shit out of the USS Liberty and all the other things they've done. Yet in recent years, this designation has shifted from your country to mine, Canada. How did a middle power replace a superpower in the hearts and minds of Israeli citizens? No, the Israeli dictatorship government. Full credit goes to Canadian Prime Minister Stephen Harper, and all of the blame rests squarely on President Barack Obama's shoulders. And this is what I keep telling you. Barack Obama is put in there as a fall guy, a stooge. I mean, that's all he's been. He was put in there exactly for that purpose. But he said some right things. And he had a little more even-handed approach to the Middle East. Can't have that. We got to have warmongers, man. Ever since he took power on January 23, 2006, Harper has made Israel a high priority of his conservative government, which is not conservative at all. It's corporate. It's corporate. It's not conservative. There's no conservative governments around because he's not trying to conserve Canada. He's ripping the environment apart. He has repeatedly condemned rising levels of anti-Jewism and anti-Israel sentiments and holds firm belief that Israel has the moral right to kill everybody in the world except itself. Well, actually, he said the moral right to defend itself. And to a Jew, to Israel, to defend itself means they can attack anybody. Because they say that. I remember when Irv Rubin used to say that. If you know somebody's, you think somebody's out to get you, you should get up early in the morning and go get them first. So Israel is always right, no matter who they attack, because they're only defending themselves. Of course they're defending their evil practices and their immoral government. To Harper's credit, his position on Israel and the Middle East is principled, yeah, and not political. Oh, no. I've known him for nearly 18 years and worked as one of his speechwriters and can honestly say his views haven't changed one iota. He's always supported democrazy countries like Israel, which is not even democrazy. It's quasi-dictatorship. With a strong guidance of Judaism, that crazy-ass religion that spawned Christian insanity, championed greater individual rights and freedom. Oh, yeah? Is that why he's putting all the people that feel like we do about white people in prison up there in Canada? Rejected hatred? No, he didn't. He just turned a hatred towards us and Craig Cobb. And persecution of all religious denominations. I don't see any persecution of denominations going on, do you? I see them all have tax exemption. They got giant churches. Their big preachers are in control of millions, maybe billions. They have thousands of dumbass sheep worship them. I don't know where that's coming from. And oppose countries that support or refuse to publicly reject terrorism, of course, to Israel and the Jew-minded people. Self-defense is always terrorism. Everything's terrorism. If you defend yourself against my invasion, you're a terrorist. Harper and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, Mr. Nitwit, are therefore very like-minded when it comes to politics. I bet they are. Economics, democratic and democracy institutions, and basic human rights. Well, what about all those niggers over there that have come into southern Israel and you put them in a giant gulag there and now you're forced them to go back into the hot deserts of Africa? What about those nigger human rights over there? The Harper Tories cut funding to Palestine shortly after the terrorist group Hamas. They're not a terrorist group. They gained power democratically, but that to a Jew don't make any difference. They're a terrorist group if they differ with the bandit state and their U.S. compatriots. That automatically makes them a terrorist no matter how legally they came to power. As then Foreign Affairs Minister Peter McKay told CBC's Inside Politics, not a red cent to Hamas. They're working for the Palestinians. This is a terrorist organization, unquote. This message was heard loud and clear in Canada, Israel, and beyond. And the progressives and the Christian Zionists applauded, Yeah, more. God's going to love us if we kick the shit out of the Islamic people. Canada was also one of the only 9 countries to oppose the UN motion to upgrade the Palestinian Authority from entity to non-member state on November 29, 2012. Let me tell you something here. It all started to go downhill when Yasser Arafat betrayed the revolution. Yes, he betrayed it. He put millions and millions of dollars into Paris banks. His wife always lived in Paris, never lived in Palestine. The only time the Palestinians were winning is when they were on the attack. When you could call them terrorists then, when they took care of those Jews at the Olympics. As a statement, you know, as sometimes you got to make a statement. And well, when they started talking about negotiating with the Jews, you don't negotiate with the Jews. I mean, the Jews in power. I'm not talking about all the working class Jews. I'm talking about, just like in our race, the ones at the top. Yeah, you're not gonna negotiate with Netanyahu. You're gonna lose. They have honed their negotiation skills through thousands of years of betrayal and murder and everything that goes along with it. So anyhow, I'm not going to read any more of this crap because it just means that Canada is another pawn of the State of Israel and the partners of the State of Israel, which are strong in our country, strong in all the countries. And any country that they're not strong into, we go in and beat them up, beat those people up, like we're doing all over the Middle East. If you're not a friend of the Jews, we're going to send white boys, white guys, and others over there to kill you and get killed. Yeah, it's simple. We like it that way because those who bless Israel are blessed by God. And those who don't bless Israel are hated by God. How stupid can people be? How stupid can people be? In contrast, Obama has badly tarnished the history of strong U.S.-Israel relations during his 2 presidential terms. In other words, he hasn't gone right along as much, maybe, with the Jews. And, of course, that gives the milquetoast right-wing Republicans the reason to come out and be more racist. he's a nigger. But we're going to attack him because he's soft on Islam. The Israeli government has lost its patience with your leader, and it's easy to understand why. Well, maybe because he hasn't rolled over to everything you wanted him to do. Obama's ridiculous posturing of opening the lines of communication with tyrants and totalitarian nations. Wait a minute. The countries of the West are totalitarian too, as far as I'm concerned. Tyrants? Well, I don't know. Some tyrants are better than others. Lukewarm position on war against terror, which covers everything, which his administration has rechristened the Overseas Contingency Operation, and bare recognition of the growing threat of radical Islam in Europe and the Middle East has turned them off. Meanwhile, Obama's decision to forge a relationship with Iranian President Hassan Rouhani, which means they're simply going to negotiate a problem to try to stay out of a war. This whole nuclear thing is ridiculous. I mean, with Israel holding 2 or 3, I don't know, 1,000 bombs or missiles, and they didn't even sign the accord. Who told NBC last fall that Israel brought instability to the region with its warmongering policies. Well, unquote, that's true. Was hardly a sign of true friendship. Now, true friendship to those people is different than what you think of true friendship. True friendship to a Jew is you get down on your knees and lick their ass. Yeah, the Jews in power I'm talking about. The president's recent White House meeting with Anas Altaqitra, a British lobbyist for the Muslim Brotherhood, cover them horrible, evil. Of course, we financed them years ago, as I recall. Probably blew Netanyahu's top to the stratosphere. I wish it physically would. Well, I'm not, obviously not suggesting Obama is either anti-Semitic or anti-Semitic or anti-Jew or hates Israel. That's what this Canadian says. Or wants that country to be destroyed. Even though I'm making strong inferences, yet he clearly doesn't share the philo-Semitism of many past presidents. In other words, Jew ass-kissing, Zionist ass-kissing, including Ronald Reagan, Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, and moreover, Obama doesn't act like a true friend and ally to Israel, whereas Harper does, the premier of Canada. He's one of the boys. That's why Stephen Harper's Canada has a close butt-fucking relationship with Israel. And Barack Obama's United States doesn't. Now, I'm going to send this out to a whole lot of people, and you wait and see. There are going to be people come back and say, oh, you love the nigger. You love the nigger in Washington because you're attacking the white people and the friends of Jesus and all that kind of stuff. That's how their logic works. And I say to all those in the right wing that don't understand how the game is played, if you don't like it, you can kiss my white ass. That's it for today. I'll be back with you on Moon's Day. We'll take a break tomorrow and catch up on our email and catch up on our honeydew and maybe go out and shovel some snow because I don't think this damn snow's ever going to go away. Ha, 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 14-5.
Charleston Railroad Tavern, set them up till I'm blind. She left on that 5:09 Eastern Standard Blue Time. My baby left this evening. I'd change all this if I could. But her train just pulled out of sight. I know she's gone for good. So, Charleston Railroad Tavern, set them up till I'm blind. She left on that 5:09 Eastern Standard Blue Time. Stayed out so many nights, the crowd downtown was fun. But her love had turned to hate before I knew the harm I'd done. Now the laughing tavern crowd is gone, I'm so lonesome I could die. The man just said it's closing time, guess I'll go home and cry. So, Charleston Railroad Tavern, set them up till I'm blind. She left on that 5:09 Eastern Standard Blue Time.
No more. They're not going to burn us down no more. They're not going to shoot us down no more. Because if they do, we're going to do what Mike did. We're coming at them with everything we got. And I'm saying to Consolidated right now, we got to do any more burying in the graveyard. They better get out their shovels. Because we're through taking punches. You don't win a fight taking a punch. Punch. You see what this is? This ain't a bunch of letters like any other union. It's a fist. And that's what we are. Every guy in here, a fist.